This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
If you're looking for commitment, flexibility, competitive interest rates, and on-the-farm service, then try Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 95 years, generations of farmers have been turning to Farm Credit for all their farm financing and crop insurance needs. As a farmer-owned and directed cooperative, Farm Credit is there to meet the needs of today's farm families. Whether it's a farm real estate loan, operating line of credit, machinery refinance, or one of our many crop insurance options, Farm Credit has the products farmers want with the service you deserve. Products and services delivered by professionals who know agriculture. It's our only business. Farm Credit brings a higher level of experience and expertise to farm lending, providing better financial solutions for your farm business. Call Farm Credit Services of Illinois today at 800-444-FARM. Remember, 800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the right equipment to do the job and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. It's 11 minutes after 6 on this Friday morning. The DTN general opening call later this morning. Expect corn to open about 2 to 3 higher. Beans about 8 cents lower. Wheat steady to a penny higher. The overnight crude oil market 7 cents lower at $92.49. The Brent crude 58 cents lower at $106.91. The June gold contract $15.50 higher at $1,590.40. The dollar index 0.094 higher at 81.477. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, July wheat closed at 657 and 3 quarter, up 19. September wheat closed at 669 and a half, up 18 and a quarter. December wheat closed at 688 and 3 quarter, up 17 and 3 quarter. July corn yesterday closed at 625, up a nickel. September corn closed at 538 and a half, up 1.5. December corn closed at 528 and a quarter, up 2. July soybeans yesterday closed at 1438, up 16. August beans closed at 1405 and a quarter, up a dime. And September beans closed at 1347 and a half, up 5 and a quarter. July soybean meal yesterday closed at $428, up 30 cents. August meal closed at $410.30, up a penny. September meal closed at $391.40, down a dime. July soybean oil yesterday closed at $50.72, up 29. August oil closed at $50.94, up 30. September oil closed at $51.14, up 30. July oats yesterday closed at 338 and a half, up a penny. September oats closed at 343, up 1 1/4. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash grain report.
This is a U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's grain market report. Illinois country grain prices were higher late Thursday afternoon, with wheat and soybeans closing sharply higher. Good weekly export sales figures and another sale of U.S. soybeans to China helped to raise the soybean futures. Today, the USDA announced the sale of 480,000 metric tons of old crop soybeans to China. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn mostly 5 to 9 cents stronger at 645 to 664. Soybeans are up 15 to 19 cents at 1414 to 1429. In the southern part of the state, elevators and mills reported shell corn 5 to 9 cents stronger at 658 to 675. Soybeans are up 16 to 20 cents at 1426 to 1445. Wheat was 16 to 20 cents higher at 637 to 658. Country grain dealers in the St. Louis market area quoted shell corn 5 to 9 cents higher at 657 to 667. Soybeans are mostly 14 to 20 cents higher at 1431 to 1445. Wheat was up 17 to 23 cents at 641 to 652. Illinois River barge sodium elevators placed their producer corn market 8 to 12 cents higher at 665 to 673. Soybeans are up 15 to 18 cents at 1445 to 1450. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn market 9 to 10 cents higher at 676 to 683. These elevators raised their soybean bids 19 to 25 cents with quotations at 1464 to 1467. Soft wheat's up 21 cents at 674 to 675. Milo closed mostly 6 cents higher at 592 to 593. This is John Ray reporting for WSMI.
June hogs yesterday on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange closed at 87.42, up 92. July hogs closed at 88.75, up 112. August hogs closed at 89.50, up $1.15. June cattle yesterday closed at 117.92, up 105. August cattle closed at 120.05, up $1.10. October cattle closed at 124.95, up 77. May feeder cattle yesterday closed at 150.62, up 77. August feeders closed at 159.92, up 160. September feeders closed at 161.17, up 137. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
The closing livestock reports for Thursday, May 17th. For the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hogs, barrels and gilts closed $2.33 higher. Carcass-based price range, 72 to 86, weighted average, 79.43. Hogs purchased Illinois today, 9,800 head. Illinois direct brown gilt trade steady to dollar higher, 53 to 57, and Illinois direct slaughter sales, mostly steady. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds at 40 to 44. 450 to 550 pounds at 43 to 48. Over 550 pounds at 46 to 50. Today's estimated receipts, 475, and Wednesday's actuals, 950. Pork carcass cut out, 82.68. That is up 75 cents. Estimated daily livestock slaughter to federal inspection, hogs for today, 410,000. Last week, 416,000. A year ago, 407,000. Week to date of 1,642,000. Cattle for today, 128,000. Last week, 127,000. A year ago, 131,000. Week to date, 505,000. Boxed beef cut-up values were steady to firm on moderate demand and light to moderate offerings. Total movement today, 149 fab loads with 38 trim. Choice, 191.10, up 12 cents. Select at 185.83, and that is up 73 cents. At the Schuyler Livestock Auction at Rushville, 119 head sold yesterday. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers traded steady to dollar lower in a light test. Slaughter cows, bulls, and feeder cattle steady. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, 121 to 126. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s, 120 and a quarter to 124. Slaughter cows, breaking type 87.5 to 95. Bony type cows at 84.5 to 88, with lean cows at 76.5 to 83. Slaughter bulls, your grade 1s at 94 to 99.5. At the Greenville Livestock Auction, 291 head sold yesterday compared to last week. Slaughter steers and heifers traded steady to dollar higher. Holstein steers steady. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, 121.5 to 127. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s at 111 to 113. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s, 121 to 126. At the Real Hay Auction over at Congerville, 628 bells sold compared to last week, hay sold mostly a dollar and a quarter to $1.75 lower. All prices for on a per bale basis. Alfalfa, good quality, small squares from 3.25 to 3.75 with large rounds, 4x5s at 17.5 to 22.5. Alfalfa, orchard grass mix, good quality, small squares at 3.50 to 4.25. Alfalfa mixed grass, good quality, small squares at 3.50 to 4.50. Orchard grass, good quality small squares, 350 to 4.25 with large rounds, 5x6s at 40 and large rounds, 4x5s at 20. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock and Grain Market News Service returning back to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, spot prices for butter, 135.5 unchanged. For block cheese, 150 unchanged. For barrel cheese, 146 unchanged. The Wednesday spot price for Class 3 milk, $15.25. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for May, $6.61. for June, 641. Corn delivered to Scottville for May, 653. For June, 633. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for May, 1429. For June, 1433. Wheat delivered to Scottville for May, 636. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. The pre-opening prices again, corn at Greenfield, $6.61, corn at Scottville, $6.53, beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $14.29, wheat at Scottville, $6.36. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Friday, brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you this morning by the M&M Service Company.
M&M Service Company is now treating soybeans with the seed treatments to help you get the highest yield and best stand possible. Treating soybeans is the most effective way to protect your soybean stand against seedling diseases and insects while also providing early vigor. M&M also offers inoculate treatments. Your soybean crop is worth more today than ever before, and it makes sense to protect and enhance it with a seed treatment from M&M Service. Ask your crop specialist about the advantages of having your soybeans treated today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of need.
Sunny skies across mid-Illinois for your Friday. High temperatures in the mid-80s. Southeast winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Clear skies tonight. Low temperatures in the low 60s. Tomorrow, Saturday, mostly sunny. The high in the upper 80s. Your extended forecast for Sunday through Tuesday. Partly cloudy and cooler with a chance of showers on Sunday. Low temperatures in the upper 50s. Highs in the upper 70s. Right now, 54 degrees under mostly clear skies at the Weather Center. This check of color radar weather brought to you this morning by the M&M Service Company. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is next.
Finally, a mower with some giddy-up, 9 miles per hour. Introducing the John Deere EasyTrac Z600 Series with a 4-year limited warranty at Sloan's. John Deere EasyTracs are easy to turn, easy to handle, and with Deere Season Financing, now they're easy to own. Your John Deere is here. Get one today at Sloan's. Visit any of Sloan's 11 Central Illinois locations or online at Sloan's.com.
Powered up with Sloan's. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Taylor and Soaps Tea Room and Gift Shop of Mount Olive, by the Litchfield National Bank, and by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro. First of all, in our farm news today, the results from the auction yesterday at the Greenville Livestock Auction compared to last week. Slaughter steers and heifers traded steady to a dollar higher. Slaughter Holstein steers traded steady. Slaughter cows, bulls, and feeder cattle were not reported. Slaughter steers accounted for about 18% of the total run. Slaughter Holstein steers about 43%. Slaughter heifers 39%. Slaughter steers select and choice brought from $120 to $124.64. Slaughter Holstein steers select and choice brought from $108 to $111.58. Slaughter heifers select and choice brought from $120.50 to $130. The total receipts yesterday at the Greenville Livestock Auction, 291 head. Last week, 660 head. A year ago, 580 head. Wednesday morning, we talked to M&M crop consultant Bill Brink. We talked about the status of the area's soybean and wheat crops, and he began with an often asked question.
And one of the biggest questions I'm always asked is, what should the planting rate be, soybean planting rate be? And I know that this has kind of changed over time a little bit, I've seen this several times, and producers have told me they have read this as well, that 100,000 plants per acre at harvest time is really all that's needed to maximize yields. So let's go back and determine, what that seeding rate should be. So maybe 100,000 plants per acre, maybe producers may not be too comfortable with that. So let's just say 125,000 plants per acre. So let's divide that figure, or the figure that you want, plants per acre at harvest time, divide that figure by the percent germination of the seed, and then you take that figure and divide that by the percent emergence that you're going to get with your planter. For example, the example that I used, 125,000 plants per acre at harvest time, divided by 90% germination of the seed, divided by 95% emergence from the planter. In other words, you're doing a really good job planting, and 95% of the seeds that you plant will emerge. And you take that, and that comes out to a seeding rate of about 146,000 seeds per acre. So, you know, planting at 146,000 seeds per acre, given the germination percentage and the emergence percentage from your planter, that should give you about 125,000 plants per acre at harvest, which should be more than adequate to maximize the yields next fall.
Does that matter whether we're talking about rowed beans or drilled beans?
No, it's pretty much the same. You know, certainly if you're going to have 15-inch rows or drilled beans, you might, you know, want to have a little bit more because, you know, emergence tends to be a little bit less whenever you have the narrower rows. However, you know, with the new planters now, the 15-inch row planters, they do a very good job in allowing for good emergence. So, but no, it's about the same, you know, regardless of whether you're planting, you know, 7-inch rows to 30-inch rows. And, you know, that's something kind of interesting. I was reading an article the other day about now there's a trend back to wider row soybeans. You know, for many years, we were drilling soybeans, 7-inch rows, 15-inch rows, and now there's a bit of a trend going back to 30-inch row soybeans. And I think that's, you know, just because, you know, farmers have the planter, you know, the 24-row planter, 30-inch rows. They just want to have, you know, one planter for both crops. And they're going back, and, you know, as early as they're planting soybeans, the fungicide seed treatment, we're getting good yields now from that. And they just don't see the need for that. But I still feel more comfortable in the southern part of the area, lighter soils, the narrow rows, I think, still do a little bit better. But I thought it was kind of interesting to read where there is a little bit of a trend going back to 30-inch rows.
I think that's kind of interesting, too, that the 30-inch rows, I think, isn't it the theory that even though you're probably not going to have as many plants, they'll each individual plant will do better on its own that way?
Yeah, you know, obviously soybean, you know, is a type of plant, you know, it bushes out. It'll compensate extremely well for, you know, a lower population. So, you know, you can just, like I said, 100,000 plants per acre out there. Maximize yield, you know, you don't need many plants out there, you know, for a soybean crop to produce well. So it just tells you that it has that capability to compensate for, you know, for a low population.
And once again, we've talked about it before. We'll talk about it again. Pretty soon the combines will be getting out of the shed and put the grain head on to thrash wheat.
Wheat is coming along pretty well. It's progressing rapidly. Probably, you know, a month from now, we're going to see a lot of wheat harvested. I've been in numerous fields. And, you know, kind of varies from field to field. You know, you look at one field and you walk into it and find that flag leaf still very green, still very productive. But then you go down the road and stop at another field and that flag leaf is pretty much dried out, which means the plant is not producing much dry matter anymore, grain anymore. So, you know, obviously those types of fields will be harvested much earlier than the ones that have a green flag leaf at this time.
That's what we saw yesterday. I went on that wheat tour that we had started there east of Mount Olive and went south there between New Douglas and Alhambra is where we ended up. And nearly all the fields of flag leaf, as you mentioned, starting to turn yellow, rust colored, that sort of thing.
Yeah, a lot of diseases out there. You know, you can find, as I mentioned before, you can find, you know, some septoria, you know, you can find some stripe rust and common rust. A little bit of smut, you know, just numerous things that have occurred out there. Of course, we had some barley yellow dwarf earlier, which is a viral disease. It's pretty, you know, pretty unusual to find a healthy wheat field this year. But I have seen some, you know, and we're going to have some pretty good wheat yields. And I think there's going to be some pretty disappointing wheat yields as well.
And that was M&M crop consultant Bill Brink. Also in the farm news this morning, Rita Frazier of the Illinois Farm Bureau talked to Mark Duggar of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, and she reports.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting Ag News here on WSMI. Today we'll talk with Mark Duggar, manager of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Mark talks with us more about what makes Macoupin County special and different, a very large county, and as Mark tells us, very different from south to north.
You can almost literally split it by 108. You've got darker, flatter soils on the north end, a little more rolling, a little lighter soils on the south end. So it does take a little bit of coordination, and I also see it as a microcosm for the state of Illinois, because the topography of Illinois changes just about as much as Macoupin County. And plus, being between Springfield and St. Louis, that brings up a whole nother unique variables in dealing with various ag issues.
Macoupin County has been well known for wonderful elected officials, obviously with the DiMuzios, but others now as well. This area is very well represented legislatively.
You couldn't ask for better state reps than what we've got. Jim Watson covers part of the county in the House. Wayne Rosenthal has got the other part of the county in the House. And, of course, right now we've got Sam McCann in the Senate, all doing a great job in representing Macoupin County and the values that Macoupin County has. Now,
it is interesting, is as you've talked to me about membership, the values of Farm Bureau membership, being a voice in Springfield and Washington, but mostly Springfield as we talk about state issues, such a key for your members.
The members have a one-on-one relationship with their legislators, which helps immensely. You can go into the General Assembly, hi, how you doing? And it's more of a conversation than you're actually trying to lobby anybody. They're having a good conversation. And we do that here locally also. We're fortunate to have Representative Rosenthal and Senator McCann here in the Farm Bureau building, easily accessible, very handy, and they will sit and listen to you and discuss the issues with you. And it's been great to have those guys here.
And according to Mark, he's been very lucky to work with some great leaders like current President Ed Marburger from the Mount Olive area, also a very active young leader committee in Macoupin County.
They've been very active, of course, doing pedal pull issues. They have been doing food drives to help the hungry and some fun drives to give monies to the local food banks to promote that. They've done some Ag in the Classroom work. They've promoted the food checkout week program that is tied in with the American Farm Bureau Federation and Illinois Farm Bureau. Very active group, a lot of good potential young leaders coming up for Farm Bureau in the future, so we're glad to see that program up and running.
You also are very proud of your scholarship program.
Oh, absolutely. The scholarship program has been going on since the early 90s. It has a great track record. New young agricultural leaders going on to agricultural schools here in the state of Illinois, and a lot of those folks have come back and are serving on our local boards, on the Fair Board, on the Farm Bureau Board, the local activities. So it's a great training program.
Mark Duggar, manager of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. I'm Rita Frazier here on WSMI.
Thank you, Rita. It's coming up on 6:32 in other farm news today. In 2013, a modest production increase could help support dairy prices, according to the United States Department of Agriculture. Current year milk and dairy product prices maintain a downward glide as milk production continues to expand despite lower producer returns in the face of high feed prices, according to the United States Department of Agriculture's Economic Research Service, says that they say that in their May 16th Livestock, Dairy, and Poultry Outlook. Next year's milk production increase is expected to be slight as the cow herd contracts and demand becomes somewhat stronger, lifting prices. Corn prices are moderating for both the current crop year and for 2012-2013. The corn price is projected to fall to $5.95 to $6.25 a bushel in 2011-12, a decline from April's projected price. The USDA also expects corn to slip to $4.20 to $5 a bushel next year. Higher corn plantings and higher expected yield could lead to record high corn supplies in 2012-2013 despite tight carryover stocks. The recent crop progress report showed a crop well ahead of average development for this time of year. While this is no guarantee of above-average yields, it minimizes the risk of yield loss due to late planting. Soybean meal price continues to inch upward. This month's forecast calls for meal prices to average $360 a ton for the current crop year, up from April's forecast. For 2012-2013, prices are forecast at $335 to $360 a ton. The April agricultural prices reported the preliminary estimate of alfalfa prices at $207 per ton. Hay prices could move downward with the 2012-2013 crop. The benchmark 16% protein dairy ration was calculated at $11.20 per hundred for the January through March of this year. Given crop price forecast, the ration value will likely head down later this year and could fall further in 2013. For dairy producers, the welcome relief from high feed prices will likely be countered by lower milk prices for the balance of 2012, with some recovery likely in 2013. On balance, the milk-feed price ratio is not expected to signal expansion until later in 2013. In other farm news, the CHS Foundation has awarded 75 $1,000 scholarships to students studying agriculture. This year's recipients include 50 high school seniors and 25 two-year college students. The foundation is the major giving entity of CHS Incorporated, the nation's leading cooperative. An independent external committee selected recipients based on their career goals, essays, extracurricular activities, and reference letters. Among those receiving those scholarships from Illinois include Samantha Bolin of Carrollton, attending Kansas State University, Evan Shepherd of Pearl, attending John Wood Community College, and Tyler Braun of Columbia, attending the Southwestern Illinois College. The average value of farmland in several Midwest and Western states grew more than 25% in the first quarter as farm income remained strong. The Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City, in a new survey of 235 banks, said that irrigated land values grew more than 30% over last year's first quarter, non-irrigated land values grew 25%, and pasture values grew 16%. Land values as well as sales prices are highest in Illinois, with prices averaging $9,500 per acre for high-quality land. Residential electricity prices are expected to spike by more than 10% beginning in 2015, with consumers paying between $150 and $330 a year more than this year, as coal plants, the least expensive producers of electricity, continue to close. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI, WSMI FM 106, beginning with the opening commodity markets this morning at 9:32. Once again, the overnight crude oil market, 7 cents lower at $92.49. Brent crude, 58 cents lower at $106.91. Reporting, I'm Randy Prange.